After they killed Great Pa, Shirley just sat on the floor in a trance with her blood-spotted skirt pulled tight over her knees. She was struggling with this horrible feeling that it was her cries while she was being raped that caused her father to be murdered. Did she cry out to her father to save her? She couldn't remember, but she felt she had. Her heart was broken. She loved her father and was so proud of him, and a part of her was glad that he did attack this monster who had raped her. She knew her father must have really loved her to have just used his teeth to stop that bastard from raping her. She wondered if the others would have taken turns with her if her dad hadn't done what he did. Something white and bloody under the kitchen table caught her attention. It was Dylan's ear. And suddenly she knew she had to have it. When the KKK men left her alone, she crawled over to the table and snatched it up. Dylan's ear was all pretty much in one piece, complete with stubbles of blonde hair protruding out of it. She quickly shoved it into the pocket of her skirt and crawled back to the wall. Greg Graham walked about the house in a daze, collecting the few possessions they could fit in the valise the white man had given them to carry away their belongings. She had over $100 saved up that she hid in her undergarments and a couple of gold coins she stuck in her shoes. She hoped the white man wouldn't search her and take what little money they had. When morning came, the white man told them it was time to leave. The 24 hours weren't up, but there was nothing left to do. So Greg Graham and Shirley stepped out into the bright October morning and started walking down the dusty road to their new life. About a month after they murdered Great Pa, the Dillons moved into the house. The house was much grander than the Dillons' former home, and he wanted to show it off a bit. Everyone was awed by the beautiful home, its woodwork, and its beautiful landscaping that Great Pa had worked so hard to perfect. The centerpiece of the front lawn was the massive banyan tree. It towered above the house, shading it from the hot summer sun and sheltering it from the gale force winds that often swept in front from the ocean. Greg Graham said that Great Pa would bury dead fish all around the tree to help it grow. He loved the tree and would sit under it often and read his books and make his plans for the next day. He told Greg Graham that he could think clearer when he was under the banyan's huge canopy. Great Pa had become friends with an Indian man, not an American Indian, but a man who came straight from India. The man's name was Mayak, and he was some sort of spiritual leader for the few Hindus who lived in the Keys. He told Great Pa that the banyan tree wasn't like other trees, but a tree that could live forever and had many powers that helped humans. The great Buddha achieved his enlightenment sitting under the banyan tree. The leaf of the tree is the resting place for the god Krishna, Mayak told Great Pa. It could also fulfill wishes if you believe strong enough in its powers and pray to it. The holy man Mayak often brought ancient Sanskrit books and read them to Great Pa. They told of the many spirits that dwelled within the banyan tree. Most important, he told Great Pa, that if you provoke those spirits, great harm, illness, misfortune, and death would be your fate. When the banyan spirits are angry, it becomes the strangling fig to those who offend it. Shirley had swung from a swing that Great Pa had hung from a branch of the banyan tree. She spent many afternoons swinging in the tree and often was observed talking to it. Greg Graham told her if people caught her talking to it, they'd think she was crazy, but Shirley just kept chatting to it anyway. She told Great Pa that sometimes she felt the big banyan tree would wiggle its branch and her swing would magically move back and forth without ever pumping her legs. Great Pa said she was just imagining it, but she swore it was real. She loved it as much as her father and fed it food like he had. When Shirley left their home and passed under the banyan tree that last time, she made a fervent wish that it would kill the men who killed her father and stole their home. In her hand, she squeezed the severed ear as she made her silent appeal. 3 weeks after Dylan had moved into Taylor's home, he decided to trim some of the branches from the banyan tree. When he swung his axe at one of its branches, a huge swarm of wasps flew out of a high hive above. They circled him like some small tornado, then suddenly covered him like a black blanket of pain. They crawled up under his shirt and up his pant legs. Nothing was sacred to them. He tried to cry out, but they entered his mouth, stinging his tongue, lips, and gums. Their buzz sounded like a roar of a jet engine. They stung him over and over until he was just a bloated mass of bites. When his wife Thelma found him an hour later, the wasps were gone, and only his swollen purple body lay there, with his mouth locked in a grotesque grimace of horror. It was even more hideous because he had bitten off his tongue during the attack. While she stood there looking down at her dead husband, the banyan's aerial roots swung to and fro as if possessed and taunting the bereaved Thelma.